Good morning, everyone. It's great to hear the chat going on, but we welcome everyone this morning. We hope you know that you feel God's presence as we worship this morning. And a very special welcome to any visitors with us. I know we have a few visitors with us this morning, and we trust that you may feel God's presence here as we worship him this morning. And that includes those sitting out in solid ground as well. Trust that everybody has received their announcements in some shape or form. So please do read it and digest it and act upon anything that is of interest to you. There's a lot going on at this present time, so please do read them. Just say, "Ah, well, there's an announcement, same as last week." It may not be the same as last week, so please do read them and take on board anything that's of interest to you. But I've been asked to just highlight a few, and there's quite a few, actually, so bear with me. Tonight is the Peninsula United service, and that will be held in Holy Trinity Church of Ireland Church in Kirkcaldy, and that will be at 7 p.m. Now, 2 weeks ago, on the stairs going up into the hall, there was some money found, quite a bit of money, two bits of paper money. So if anybody lost that, speak to John Cranston or Neil. They'll ask you how much you lost and see if it corresponds. So if you have lost some money, ask 2 weeks today, and it's going up into the main hall, into church halls. It was just lying there just after the church service, and so maybe somebody's walking up the hall or heading home, and they dropped some money. So if you lost it, you have your chance to claim it today. If not, it'll go into the mission pot. I made that decision there just now. Right. Secondly, we all know the importance of the internet and how good it is, but it can be abused greatly. So the BB has decided they're having the PSNIs coming to talk about the safety of internet usage. And it's not only opened up to the BB, the boys, but it's also all the parents and anybody else that is interested in that. And that will be this Wednesday night in one of the halls. So if you're free and interested in hear about keeping the internet safe for your children or for anybody, please do come along to the BB on Wednesday night. Secondly, another time is the Vintage Rally is coming up in August. I know August seems to be a fair bit away, but they need help for the Vintage Rally. And if you're able or think you're able at this time to help, if you're able-bodied to help the car parking and different things, please do give your name to Richard Smith as soon as possible, today or next Sunday if possible. Just mention, yes, I could be of interest to help, and that would be great. The other thing is reports for the annual reports are to be in for this Friday with Fiona. So please, if you're secretary of any organisation or ministry and puts in a report, please do so before this Friday. That would be great. Then, Mission 2020. We all know it's ongoing week after week. And next week starts our Christianity Explored. And this will be held in the Wildfowler Inn on Monday night here in Grey Abbey. And then on Tuesday night in Clocky at Kirkson Golf Course. So if you're of interest in helping out, especially in Grey Abbey here, there's a meeting tomorrow night in Solid Ground at 7:30. And we need different helpers to just run this course. So if you feel that you can maybe give off your Monday nights for the next 7 or 8 weeks, please do come along tomorrow night at 7:30 to Solid Ground. So please do remember that in your prayers. Pray that it'll be a very effective course, and no doubt it will be. So if you know of anybody, there's invitations to be handed out. They are sitting in the welcome areas in both the church and the halls. So it's a lot easier maybe just to hand an invite to anybody and then speak to them. But also maybe just say, "Look, I'll go along with you to this here." So that's on starting next Monday night in the Wildfowler at 7:45. So please do remember that in your prayers this week. I believe that is all the announcements. So let us worship God. I heard on the radio last Monday was the most depressing day of the year. It's supposed to be the most depressing day of the year. And I don't know, I didn't feel depressed, but I'm really sure some people did. But so just a word of encouragement for opening the service. And it comes from Isaiah 41, verse 10. And it reads, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And if we do feel depressed or down at any time, do you know, if you just dwell on them words, that will lift you, that you are never, ever alone. So let us stand and sing our first praise, and it is the heart of worship.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all
you know, as a church family, we like to celebrate special occasions. And I was supposed to do that during the announcements, and I forgot, just dwelled on me. That's maybe why the first verse didn't come up soon. So hope Glenn can get this photograph. There's a lady's birthday this week, and I'm sure we all know her, and you'll know it since the photograph comes up. So it is. It was a foggy day when it was taken. Right? Anybody idea who that is? Now, she's a wee bit older now. Oh. Are you, you know her now? Well, I don't know what she was there now. Lynn. Right. So there she is, and I wouldn't say what age she is, but she's not 59 and she's not 61. So, as usual, we wish Lynn a very happy return. And maybe she's sitting out in solid ground there, so we're not going to embarrass her in here, but hopefully I embarrass her. So we'll sing happy birthday to Lynn.
Happy birthday.
So let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. It's all about you. It's all about Jesus. Lord, you are worthy of all our praises. We thank you for allowing us to be graced by your presence here today. Accept our love and adoration in Jesus' name. That you will always light your way with your presence. And we pray that your light will always shine on us. May all people see your glory through us and come to worship you as the living God. Heavenly Father, your provider, your maker, and your protector. Through your goodness, we are alive and healthy enough to gather and worship you. We praise you for all that you have given us and thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, we commit all of our good deeds to you and ask that everything we do be done for your glory. Lord, we recognize that we are your children and gather to worship in your presence. Bless us so that we can show the world your goodness. We ask that we be filled with your Spirit. As Neil opens our word, may we trust in your unfailing promises. Your word holds true. It is a living and active. Open our eyes and our hearts that we may see you more clearly today. And as we bow our heads before you and confess that we have too often forgot that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there is no God, and we fall short of being the incredible witnesses that you would have us be. For those things, we ask for your forgiveness, and we thank you for your strength. Give us clear minds and open hearts so that we may witness to you, for you in your world. Remind us to be who we are or who you would want us to be, regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to you and build our relationships with you and with those who you have given to us. You and you only, the first in my heart, High King of Heaven, my treasure you are. As we sing these words, may you be glorified and may we all be blessed, for we ask it in your name's sake. Amen. So let us sing our next piece of praise. And you see them words are in that, and we pray that everybody may take them in and really just dwell on them. And it's entitled, You Are My Vision.
Morning, everyone. Lovely to be in God's house with you this morning. I'm going to invite you now to turn with me to God's Word as we read it, starting a new series today in the parables. So we're going to look at about four or five different parables, of which there are many in the Bible. You're going to be studying some of them in your Bible study groups, but we encourage you all to read them, read other ones. We'll talk a little bit more about parables and what they are a little bit later on. But we're coming to this first one, the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13. Bit of a harvest parable because it's about sowing seeds. But of course, sowing seeds is something that we do all the time. And we trust that God's going to encourage us, remind us, equip us for the sowed seed and purposes of his kingdom today. So Matthew chapter 13, reading from verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake. Out of the house, sorry, and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. When they told him many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came up and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell amongst the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him, and they asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it. They longed to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown on the path. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since it has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell amongst the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Amen. And as usual, we ask God to bless us even as we read his word aloud together. We're going to continue to worship him now as we give of our tithes and our offerings. So your offerings will now be received. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that we can come to worship you today. Thank you for your word that has told us that there's a seed that's sown, Lord. And we know that you're a God who loves to lavish us with all kinds of blessings. And indeed, Lord, we are a blessed people meeting here this morning. Homes to come from, clothes on our backs. Lord, just so many things. And yet, Lord, we know there are so many needs in our area and around the world. Physical needs, emotional needs, psychological needs. But Lord, we know there's a deep spiritual need in the area where you have placed us and indeed around the world. And we dedicate this offering, Lord, to the sowing of those seeds for the spiritual well-being of people who know and love you and to bring people who are lost into your kingdom. So Lord, we pray you would take this offering from joyful hearts, use it for your kingdom and for your purposes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. That's just my back squeaking. There's nothing quite like a balloon Sure there's not. Look at that there, even the old weans are playing with them. Look at this. I think even if you look upstairs, look at Michelle, she's miserable, she won't touch the balloon up. I think there's ones upstairs, is there? Oh, there's a balloon floating upstairs. I believe this morning there's even a balloon out in the solid ground cafe. There we go. Keep them up there. Look, there's some miserable people even smiling this morning. All that preaching that I try to do, and it's not like a balloon to get them smiling. Look at that. See the way they're going, boys and girls. And you've done the right thing. You've just been a brilliant illustration for me. Dan McCracken, would you calm down? There's always one lunatic when you do a children's address. But someone did the very right thing here at the front. Because when the balloon came, she held on to it. And you know, when we leave this place today, we're going to be preaching. I'm going to be preaching in a minute or two. And you boys and girls are going to go out. And you're not going to hear that wonderful sermon. But your mommies and daddies will tell you about it. But you're going to hear something similar too. You're going to be told that Jesus loves you. And on these balloons, it tells you that Jesus has been changing lives. And we're going to talk today, folks, about gospel seeds. Seeds of the gospel. And what we want today is the seeds of the gospel to go out through that door and be kept up and passed on by people with smiles on their faces. People who love Jesus. To take those gospel seeds and pass them on so that some people out there, people that you know and love, will hear that gospel seed and they'll hold on to it. And they'll take time to embrace it and to understand it and to believe it and to ask Jesus to change their life. We're coming into a time of we're going to look at parables. We're going to talk about parables in a minute or two, but boys and girls, before you go out, a parable is simply a little story used to take something from the world to use it to teach people something about the kingdom of heaven. And parables are simple. They are simple things. Look how simply balloons have helped us to understand how we should share the gospel seed and the joy that that brings. And we want your lives to be parables and things in your lives that you can use to tell other people about Jesus. And you know, Jesus hasn't just given us an idea. He didn't say, oh, here, you see when you get a minute or two, just share one or two gospel seeds if you get the chance, you know. He bids us do it. Now, that word doesn't sound good to us today. It's a kind of a negative word. Yeah, I bid you to do this. You're doing my bidding. It's a kind of a bossy kind of a word. We're going to sing a song right now that tells us Jesus bids us shine. Jesus bids us shine. He tells us, he commands us to go out and shine with joy, sharing the good news of Jesus. So let's stand. Keep those smiles on your faces. They've gone a wee bit already. Keep those smiles on your faces. Let's sing Jesus Bids Us Shine before the boys and girls go out to K4C. Boys and girls, out you go to K4C. Wow. That's the prettiest two girls in the place this morning. Huh? Yes. Folks, we're going to come now in a time of prayer as we pray for others. We're going to be praying this morning for anyone who's done the AQE. And I have to say I've lost track, but I don't know if any of the kids have gone out, or your kids, or with any P7s, I don't know. I know there's one or two. Hopefully that's all gone according to plan. And it has. It's gone according to God's plan. So we're just going to pray that God will use all of that. We're going to pray for schools and things. So let's just come before God now in prayer. Oh, before we do, sorry. One little word from our prayer ministry team. They've met this morning, and this is what God is saying to us. Don't miss out because of misguided perceptions. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." So if that means something to you this morning, please stay behind after the service. Members of the ministry team will be there. If you speak to them, they'll maybe bring a bit of light into that. And just to remind us that after the service, if we take our conversations around there to allow the prayer ministry to happen, that would be greatly appreciated. But let's come before God now as we pray together. Well, Lord, we do thank you for our children. We thank you, Lord God, that you have purpose for them. You've created them. And us, Lord, every one of us in your image, out of love and purpose for all of us. And Lord, we rejoice in that today, just as a family meeting here together in fellowship in this place. And we thank you for every family represented. We pray, Lord, for the families that would be here today who aren't represented for other reasons, wherever they're at, Lord, bless them. We pray for the members of our family who would love to be here but who can't get out of the house, who are maybe listening to this service today on the internet or on a CD. We pray your blessing on them, Lord, even as they listen a few days' time. But Lord, for our children, particularly our primary school children, we pray your blessing, Lord, today on those in P7 who have come or are coming to the end of their primary education, having spent probably 7 years in one school, and now, Lord, beginning to look out of that school to that next phase of their life, the next phase of their education, next phase of their development. And we just pray for all who have sat that exam. And Lord, we know we can debate about the pros and the cons of this exam, whether it's good or bad, the pressure or otherwise. But Lord, we have children who have sat it. And we thank you, Lord, that you've got them through it. And we pray, Lord, now for whatever results they've got, that, Lord, you would help them to find the way you want them to go. Because, Lord, that's where we need to be as adults. That's where we need to be leading our children in the ways that you have for them. And, Lord, I want to pray for all the parents. Lord, I pray as a parent this morning. As we look at our children, we have hopes and dreams and aspirations for them. And Lord, as they grow older, Lord, help us as parents to find your vision for them. It might be different from ours. Lord, help us to find and help them find the way that you're shaping and molding them, the purposes that you have for them, the purposes that you've had for them, not since they were born, but since before they were born, since you were knitting them together in their mother's womb, since before the creation of time, Lord, you have a purpose for each of us and plans. And we pray, Lord, even today, that as we meet together, as parents, Lord, you're helping us to understand that purpose for ourselves and for our children. And as a congregation, Lord, that you are helping us all to find our purpose in you and for your will. Lord, we thank you that we meet here today with the great blessing of the comforts and the heat and the warmth and all of the things that we enjoy. And Lord, we thank you that even though we've got lots of coughs and colds, Lord, going on at the moment, Lord, we can meet with relative good health. But we pray particularly this morning, Lord, for China, for this coronavirus. We pray, Lord, that all the efforts to contain it would actually be successful, Lord, and that virus would be contained, that it would be dealt with, that all the processes to defeat it would all take place and they would be successful, Lord. We pray, Lord God, for those families who have lost loved ones to this virus already. Lord, we just pray that in the midst of all of that lockdown, in the midst of all of the work that's going on to stop movement, Lord, we know that none of that will stop your movement. And we pray for those families who are mourning today, that they would know your presence, that they would know your comfort and your support. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in China, that they would be able to bring that shoulder to cry on, that arm, that hug, that listening ear, Lord, whatever those people need. Lord, we just pray that you would draw them to faith in Jesus, the one who conquered death. Lord, that's the only hope we have beyond death, beyond any virus or any illness or any sickness or just even old age, Lord, in this world. All lives will come to some sort of end. But Jesus, Lord, gives us hope beyond the grave, for he conquered it. And we thank you for him for that, Lord. And may that be the message that goes out. But for this virus, Lord, and for all the efforts to contain it, Lord, we pray for them. And as that virus, Lord, moves around the world, with all this great technology that helps us to move from one place to another. But Lord, then it helps these viruses to move as well. So we know the virus has moved, Lord, and we pray that will be contained quickly and dealt with swiftly, Lord, and that you would get glory in that. Lord, won't you be glorified in everything, in every area of the world, in every part of the world, in every thought process. And indeed, Lord, in everything that we do, we want you to be glorified. Lead us and guide us, Lord, and particularly for our Christianity Explored course. Help us, Lord, to take these invites that we've got. Help us to take them, Lord, and reach them to people. Help us to pray for opportunities to invite people to come to our courses. Lord, go ahead of us into those buildings, here in Grey Abbey and in Clochy. Lord, we pray that you would fill those places with your presence and your spirit. Lord, that all that would come through those doors would know they're there to do real business, real spiritual business with you. We pray, Lord, for all that you would call to help out, for registration, for the tea, for the meet and greet, to sit and just deliberate on the passages, on the videos, for those who will lead, Lord. We just pray for all of it. We pray, Lord, for those opportunities for people at work to do this in ones or twos, just with one person, a couple of people, Lord. Now, we just pray for the blessing that we have known in the past through Christianity Explored. We pray for it again, Lord. We're hungry for it. We want to see people not just exploring Christ, but finding Christ and coming into a relationship with him. And we thank you, Lord, that we see the answers to prayers. We've seen people come into faith. Lord, we thank you for the other answers to prayers that we've seen. We thank you, Lord, that Stormont is back working again. Elected representatives are in there. And we just pray, Lord, that this season, that this time that they're back and working again, Lord, would have longevity, would have unity. We pray for those folks that they would see past those bitternesses. Lord, you look down in this world. You don't see Catholic or Protestant. You don't see a Gaelic language or Ulster Scots. You don't see any languages. You don't see the colors of people's skin. You don't see anything about them, Lord, just people you've created. So we pray, Lord, that our elected representatives would just work for the unity of the people. People who need a health service and education and all those public services, all of those things, Lord, that you are working in and through. We pray, Lord God, that this would be a real time of blessing through our government and not division. So Lord, we come before you knowing that you do great work. And we pray, Lord, that you would do work there. We pray, Lord, you would do work with us this morning as we come to your word. Speak to us, Lord, with words that we need to hear. Sow seeds in our lives, Lord, today. Lord, take those seeds that have been sown, that have a root. Help us, Lord, to produce a fruit that's in keeping with your kingdom, in accordance with your will, and that all that we would do, Lord, would bring praise, glory, and honor to your kingdom. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're on parables, folks. Haven't looked at parables really in any great depth since I was at Union College. We did a great module on them, and I remember them well. So I'm really delighted that God has led us to be talking about parables again. We're going to look at only, I think it's 5 or 6 parables over the next number of weeks, and there are many, many parables. But what are they? What is a parable? A parable, there we go, this is, didn't work in Clocky this morning, but it's working here, good. A parable. A parable is a little story or an illustration that brings two subjects together for the purpose of teaching. Something simple to help explain something maybe a little bit more complicated. When it's done in a story form, the stories are short and memorable. They're stories that are taken from everyday life. But these stories from everyday life don't need to be realistic. These stories in a parable can be embellished. And all the men are going, oh, that's good. So all these old stories that I once told that get better every time I tell them, they're just parables, love. It's just a parable. I'm just embellishing the size of the fish that got away. I'm just embellishing that drive from the fourth tee that went out over. I'm just embellishing how quickly I drove down that country lane and got the fastest time that day. And all of the goals that I scored and all of those great things that we done, men, we can just now call them parables. Because parables can be roughly based on something realistic. But what Jesus does in embellishing them, he embellishes them so that he can highlight something. There's a little embellishment in our parable today, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. But the parables generally mean one thing. They're usually one point that's been made within the parable, but not always. There are other scriptural truths that can be brought to the parables. But we've got to be careful in doing that because not all the details in the parables are exact. Some of the details are embellished. So if we start bringing some other principle, some other biblical, theological, doctrinal principle and try and make it fit into the parable, we get ourselves in trouble because the parables can be embellished and lack certain details. So how do we know whenever that's happening? Well, whenever you read a parable and you start thinking about something else and you think it's not working out, it's usually because it's not working out. See, the scripture interprets scripture. So in a parable, if something leaves you thinking one thing and you know that the Bible says something else, well, then you go to the Bible and see what it says. Don't let the parables drive everything you believe. Think of the one point in the parable, usually at the end. The summing up of the parable. That's usually the main point that's being made. Parables are thought-provoking. They're made to make us think. Jesus sometimes asks questions in the parables, or the parable is a result of a question that is being asked. We can sum them up with a simple definition. I'm sure you've heard this definition before. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And if we keep them as simple as that, then we'll get on better with them. So as we read through these parables, remember, keep them simple. Something known to man, something on earth, something as simple as a balloon, helping us to think about something that's heavenly. Why did Jesus use them? Well, Jesus used them to teach. He used them probably in about a third of his teaching ministry. But of course, depends on what book you go to read. Some commentators will say something is a parable. Another commentator will say, well, it's not a parable. I've chosen ones that in the Bible that says the parable of the sower. I've chosen the obvious ones. They're all little sayings that Jesus would have used, maybe like a sentence that's parabolic in its nature. But about a third of what Jesus taught was in parables. And if we turn to the Bible, if you haven't got it open already, I invite you to open it with me here at chapter 13, verse 10. The very question that the disciples ask, why do you speak to the people in parables? It's a good question. Because you've got to remember, we have heard these parables. We maybe know lots more about these processes. But every time a parable was spoken, it got people thinking, what exactly is he talking about? So the disciples here are saying to Jesus, why are you speaking in parables? Why are you not just giving it to them straight? And Jesus' answer is probably quite surprising in verse 11. He says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. So in this parable that Jesus has just shared, some people have been given the secrets to the kingdom and other people have not. You see, the parables are used to reveal and conceal the secrets of the kingdom. Now, we know that God is on a mission. And God's mission is to unite his fallen creation, unite himself to the people who are the pinnacle of that creation. So in this whole unity plan of God's, when we read about this segregation, it seems to maybe confuse us some way. It's a departure from this unity plan of God's. But there's a reality in God's unity plan. And the reality is this. Not everyone is going to be united with God. There are those who will live and die being separated from God. There is a them and an us. We don't like that kind of language. Here Jesus uses you and them. But a them and us situation goes on. But God knows who's who. He knows our very hearts. He knows us since before we were born. He knows who's who. And in the Bible, when we try to figure this out, who the who is, who's going to hear and who's going to have it revealed and who's going to have it concealed, there's a couple of principles that we read about. The one is chosen. God chose you, the Bible tells us. So it tells us the people who's not chosen. But also then the Bible talks about seeking. You've got to seek. Don't reject it, but seek it. So there's this great balancing act going on between chosen seekers and not chosen rejectors. And there's this real spiritual mix going on. But God is the one in control of that. Sometimes we can get ourselves too bogged down in the chosen, the not chosen, and the seeking and the rejecting. And here in this passage, in the middle of this parable, and then we jump later on to the explaining of the parable, we have some verses here from Isaiah where Jesus explains then to the disciples why he speaks in parables. Why does he reveal to someone, conceal to others? Verse 14, it says, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. This people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. Their eyes have been shut. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. What is Jesus saying here by using this prophecy from Isaiah, this reference from Isaiah? Well, the first thing is this. God is not saying that he is unwilling to reveal the truth of the kingdom to people. What he's saying here is that God is not going to force the truth of the kingdom onto people whose hearts are hardened, people who don't want to hear it. He's not. We always say this. God does not force salvation on anyone. God does not force it onto people who are not willing to hear it or who want to hear it. Jesus teaches about this later on in the Gospels. He says, don't throw your pearls to swine. It's a little parable there. Don't take something that is really precious and expensive and throw it to a pig that doesn't know what it is, who will take a sniff at it and then just trample it into the muck that he's walking through. And whenever we take the pearl of the gospel, a gospel seed, which is really precious to someone, and they start trampling it and snorting at it and saying, ah, shut up, I don't want to listen to that. Whenever that starts to happen, what does Jesus tell us? Walk away. Shake the dust of your feet. There are just some times whenever we're not meant to share the gospel with certain people because they're not ready. They don't want to listen. But now, this is not telling us that God only reveals the kingdom to people who are willing. God didn't look down from heaven one time and on a boy called Neil Stewart and say, well, there's Neil Stewart. I know him from beginning to end. I know that if I reveal the gospel to him, he'll be willing to listen to it. But I look down at Joe Bloggs, and he'll not be willing, so I'm not going to reveal it to him. That's not how God works. In all of this, we have to remember one thing. God is sovereign. And that's what these passages are telling us. If you go to Romans 9, when you go home, you can read about God's sovereign choice. Paul uses there in Romans a passage from Exodus that says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God can harden any heart he wants. He talks there about the potter. The potter can make out of clay a vessel for noble or ignoble purposes. It is God's sovereign choice. And it says then, salvation does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. And this passage is not saying, by the way, that God looks down at some hearts, the heart of Joe Bloggs, and say, that heart is so hard, the gospel will never go in there. He's not chosen because he's too hard. His heart is too hard. Remember what the word of God is. It's living, it's active, it is sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates joints and marrow. There's not a heart that's that hard that the gospel cannot get into it. There's not a soul or a spirit that cannot be reached for the gospel. There's not a heart that can't be given to Jesus. God's sovereignty, as it's laid out here in this passage, is telling us that in his sovereignty, in his timing, the secrets of the kingdom will be given to some, but not to others. For some, the parable will reveal the secrets. For others, it will conceal the secrets. But we don't know who's who. We should never look at someone and say, they definitely will be saved, or they definitely won't be saved. That's beyond us. That's God's sovereignty. But here's the thing we do know. Here's the thing that every single one of us knows. We know our own heart, don't we? Every single person in this room today, you know whether you're saved or not saved. You know whether you've given your life to Jesus or whether you haven't. And if you've given your life to Jesus, there might very well be times when you doubt it. And you think, sometimes I'm driving along in my car and I'm going, is this whole thing real? Did God really create the universe? Sometimes I walk out of here on a starry night, of night you can see the stars, and I go, did God set all of this in place, did he? There's times that I doubt it. There's times that I question it. But I always get back to that point in my heart. I know. I know that Jesus came. I know that Jesus died. I know that God has revealed that to me. And I know that he has put that truth in my heart. And I know I love Jesus. You know if you love him. And you know if you don't. There were some people who longed for it here, just in passing in verse 17. It says that the prophets and righteous men longed to hear this, but they didn't. That's not because it was concealed from them. They longed to meet the Messiah. They longed to see Jesus, but they didn't. They died. They passed the scene of time before Jesus arrived. But these disciples, he's saying, blessed are you. Blessed are your eyes when you see. Blessed are your ears that you've heard. And we are in the same boat, folks. We are blessed when our eyes have been opened, our ears have heard what Jesus has done. We know that he came. We know that he died. We know that he's gone to heaven. We know that his spirit works in and through all the areas of our lives to reveal Jesus to us. We are blessed. We are blessed knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when you have that blessing, you become what the point of this parable is. You become a sower of the gospel seed. And that's what this parable is about. It's called the gospel seed, the parable of the sower. So who's the first person we meet here in verse 3? The first person we meet is the sower. I think in the NIV it says a farmer. Don't like it. I don't like farmers. Love farmers. Every morning when I put milk on my cereal, love farmers. When I eat bread, love farmers. But I don't like the way it says a farmer. Just a farmer. A farmer does lots of things. But this is written in the Greek in the definite article. So it's not a, it's the. It is the sower. It's like a farmer and all he ever does is sow seeds. Sow seeds all the time. Sowing seeds, sowing seeds. The sower. Who is the sower in the parable? Who can that be? Well, that's you if you love Jesus. You are a sower of the gospel seed. Now, that's not a question. That's a fact. The question is, how good are you at sowing the gospel seed? How good are you at presenting the gospel seed? Because if you go out of here miserable, talking about a miserable church, a miserable minister, miserable songs, having a miserable time, that's not a very positive seed that you're sowing. Because if you go out here and you tell people that you're a Christian, but you go out miserable and gurning and complaining and gossiping about all sorts of things, you're not sowing a very good gospel seed. But if you go out here going, oh, I was miserable this morning, but I went to church and I stood and sung a couple of songs, it was great, and God really spoke to me. And it's still going to be a miserable week ahead, but I know God's with me. That's a very different seed that you're sowing. So you all sow seeds as followers of Jesus. You are seed sowers. And that's what the seed is the good news of Jesus. What Jesus has done. He has come. He has died for our sins. He has defeated death. He sits beside the Father in heaven waiting to return to bring everyone who trusts in him back up to heaven. That's the gospel seed. So how do we communicate it? We communicate it by telling people we love Jesus and we want to live as his word bids us. Not suggests, but bids us. We're bid to live a certain way. So we go out and we do that. We live loving the people who hate us. That's hard, isn't it? But that's what it is to live a gospel seed sowing life. That is the seed to love those people who continually just knock you down. And then we talk to them about Jesus when the opportunity arises. How we live, how we speak, that is the seed that we sow. And we'll all sow it differently. Look at the variety of people who are around here. Young, I pointed at the young. I'm definitely not pointing anywhere else for the not so young. But we're all different, aren't we? Look at the shapes and sizes of us. Look at the different lives that we lead. And here's a wee picture here. I just love this picture when I came across it. That's what the church should look like. A field of lovely wild meadow. I love that picture because I want to try and reproduce that at our house up. And George is going to help me do it. He doesn't know it yet. But George was the man who was in charge of doing that up at Mount Stuart. Any of you saw it? So all of those seeds, and I can tell you exactly, see all of those flowers? There are red ones, and pink ones, and purple ones, and yellow ones. That's as much as I know, but I know this. They all have different seeds, but those seeds went into the soil. Those seeds got water, and heat, and light, and look at the lovely picture it creates. That's what we should be. Creating a lovely picture. But what's the common denominator? Word of God. All of our variety of lives should all become a back to biblical principles. Oh, when people ask you, how do you live? I live this way. Our expression of it should be joyous and wonderful and colorful and a lovely, lovely variety. We go out and we sow those seeds. We sow those seeds everywhere we go, and those seeds fall in different soils, four different areas. Let's look at them here. I'm going to just take the part that Jesus said in the parable, and then we'll jump down to where he describes it. So verse 4, verse 19, the path. The sower was sowing the seed. He scattered the seed. Some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. So that's when anyone hears the message about the kingdom but does not understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And this is the seed sown on the path. So this is a person who might stand and smile politely, nod their head and broadly agree with you whenever you're talking to them about Jesus or about the kingdom. They might even come to church, play the part, look the part. Maybe there's some of you here this morning. But you don't really care about it. Not interested in it. Not going to study it. Not going to ask any questions about it. Sometimes when these people are standing and you're talking to them, they're going, is that right? Yeah. And in their mind they're going, I wish we'd just shut up and go out of here. I don't want to listen to this. I've heard them about this before. I just don't care. But all you see is, lots of people like that. Won't take the time. Easy pickings for the devil. He can go in and snatch those wee words out, really. There's no conscience. There's no battle going on inside for these seeds. But don't think this. Don't think the devil is just winning in all of those conversations. Because we don't know what's going on. You could have someone who is going, and not listening. But you could have somebody arguing with you, telling you you're silly for believing it. But all the while, the seeds are going in. See, we don't know the heart. And don't think for one moment that Satan's just out there stealing all these wee seeds away. Remember what we're told in Isaiah. My word that goes from out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I sent it. So you could have those people who are maybe in your face with a red face. They're maybe really angry, but gospel seeds are going into their lives. And there may be people who are living in the path with not one bit of interest, but there's little seeds lying in there dormant, maybe for decades. There are people who learned little bits of scripture at Sunday school, sang little Bible songs at Sunday school, and they've had no interest in the scriptures for decades. They may be in their 50s or 60s or 70s or their 80s. Those little seeds took root, and great things happened. But these seeds fall in the path. Seeds also fall then on rocky places. And I think the key to this is when we read about it. They fall in the rocky places. They don't have much soil. They spring up quickly. But because it's shallow, the sun comes up and the plants are scorched and they wither. And this is the one who receives the seed that fell in the rocky places. It's the one who hears the word and receives it with joy. And I think that's the key phrase in this verse. They receive it with joy. But it has no root. It lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. They receive it with joy. So take the good news of the gospel, the whole story of the gospel. It's a good story. It's a hero and a villain. Who doesn't love a hero and a villain? Marvel have made millions on hero and villain stories. DC Comics have made millions on hero and villain stories. Don't we love a story where someone comes and steps up and saves everyone? Do you not want to be part of a story like that? Do you not want to come into a place where people believe that story and they sing lovely songs? They've a wee band playing in the corner. They've a real versatile and hip and happening minister. Who doesn't want to be part of that story? Come to the events that the church are having. Boys, they make great food and we have great fun. The story is a good story. But that's what it is for these people. It's just a story. When it means going out those doors and defending that story, it's a different kettle of fish. I'm out. Now, I like the wee joyful bit. But we know, folks, as followers of Jesus, the story is a joyous story, but it's not always joyous. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it's tough. As Christians, we still get affected by viruses. We still have cancer. We still have heart attacks. We still fall out with our children. We still fall out with our parents, our brothers and sisters. We fall out with our husbands and our wives. Sometimes the story has really difficult parts in it. And that's when the root needs to be deep. These other people, when the fun goes out of it, they get out of it. And the thorny area is quite similar in many respects. The seed falls amongst the thorns there in verse 7. Grows up, but the thorns choke it. This is the person who receives the seed that falls in the thorns. They hear the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it and make it unfruitful. The joy of church and Jesus is great until it starts costing you money. And you have an opportunity to not come to church or not to do that thing to go and make money. You're told that something else is actually better. So it's all down to a lack of faith in the real meaning of the story. Rockiness, thorny areas, the temptations and other pleasures are replaced by opposition and persecution. Both think the story is great, but it's all right till something better comes along. But then the seed falls on good soil. Other seed fell on good soil in verse 8, but produced a crop 100, 60 or 30 times that which was sown. And in verse 23, we get the explanation. The one who received the seed that fell in the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60 or 30 times that which was sown. And I think the difference is this. If you look at all of those four areas, why is this one area different? Well, people on the path, they hear the word, but they do not understand it, it says. The rocky ground receive it, and they hear it, but they don't understand it. The thorns receive it, and they hear it, but they don't understand it. But now here in the good soil, people hear it, they receive it, and they understand it. Their eyes and their ears are opened. The secrets of the kingdom are theirs. It's not just a good story anymore. It's a story that's in here. It's a reality. It is your life now. And the people who have had their eyes opened and their ears opened have this story where it's engraved on their heart. Hebrews tells us that this story will be written on our hearts and written on our minds. That's not just written down, scribbled on a pencil that could be rubbed out. It's not a pen that could be tipexed over. It's like chiseled in. It's engraved on our hearts. Not just a story, but a reality. And these people, us people, people in this room who have had that story on our hearts, what are we to do with it? The secret seed is to be shared. Lots of S's today. If you have an S, speech impediment, I apologize, but that's just the way it was written. The seed, this secret seed is to be shared. Verse 23. We are to produce a crop 100, 60, or 30 times. Now, that's maybe where some embellishment comes in. Now, there's farmers in here. Can you sow one seed that produces 100 things on the end of the thing that grows? Would you get 100 seeds on a piece of corn or a bit of wheat? No. That's an embellishment. It's an embellishment to tell us we're to sow many seeds. We're to sow lots of seeds. 60, 30, 100, 20. That's not just three numbers. That's to tell us that we will sow in a variety of ways at a variety of times, but we're to sow plenty and just keep sowing these seeds. And as we sow those seeds, the Spirit will use our sowing to reveal or conceal according to God's sovereign plan. We're keepers. We're not keepers of the secret, sorry. We're sowers. We just sow. The revealing and the concealing, that is God's sovereign choice. There's one thing about these four areas where these seeds land I want us to be clear about. There's only one of them that's fixed. Seed that falls on soil, when someone receives, hears, and understands the word of God, when their eyes and their ears are opened, when the secrets have been revealed, when you become a follower of Jesus, when you have his presence for your earthly reality, when you have that security for the heavenly eternity, you are sealed. The seed is growing. That is it. You cannot move from that category. Again, you are held there by the love and the grace and the power of God. See, all three categories, they are absolutely, totally reclaimable and redeemable. Because if they weren't, Mission 2020 would be the single biggest waste of time that we've ever entered into. People must surely be able to be moved from the path or from the thorns and from the rocky places. And they can. And they are. See, last Sunday, with some people to come and tell us what God was doing in Swaziland. He's doing the same thing in Swaziland as he is here. He has one purpose around the world, and that is to reveal the secrets of the kingdom to people who don't yet know him. And down in Clocky, they sang the same song that they sang here, "For God so loved the world," John chapter 3, verse 16. And a man in the congregation who came in through the door, probably in the rocky or thorny categories, went home, and that song would not leave his mind. It wouldn't leave his head. And he put it on YouTube at some silly hour of the morning when he couldn't get to sleep. And what did he do? He got out of his bed. He kneeled beside his bed. And he gave his life to Jesus. Amen. God is changing lives, folks. This secret is being shared. And it's been revealed to the people that Jesus needed it to be revealed to. And this is what we've been called to, folks. God has saved us to be with him for eternity and left us on earth for this purpose. So think about your own parables. Think about how you can take simple things of the world that are in your life and share them with other people. I didn't realize it, but I've created a whole lot of parables called vlogs. I've used my wee silly Nova and Fields of Potatoes and a big stone that sits on the side of the road. They're all wee parables. Just everyday things that we drive past are things that are in your life. So you think about the parables in your life that you can share them with those people and sow those seeds. And if you're here today and you're going, "What is he talking about? I don't understand this." Seek Jesus. Don't let the seeds be snatched from you today. If something that we've been singing about, something that's been spoken about, if that prayer is for you, then stay and seek Jesus. Because those who seek him, guess what? They generally be found. Jesus says, "All that the Father gives to me will come to me. Whoever comes to me, I will never turn away." If you're seeking Jesus today, oh, seek him. And you could find him. You could leave here a soil this very day. We're going to close this service by using the same song. Not because it's some sort of spell that will be cast over us, that somebody will go home and give their life to Jesus because they did it last week. We're singing it because it's scriptural truth. "For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to die for our sins." Let's stand together, singing to the glory of God. Folks, the word salvaged spoke to me in that song. You may be here and think your life is scrap, but Jesus wants to salvage your life today. So may that grace that sent Jesus to die for us be the grace that we realize in salvation. May that be the grace that covers us, the grace, the mercy, the peace, and the love from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May it not just rest on us now, but may it carry us this day and forevermore into his eternal presence. Amen.